Good morning and welcome to The Exchange. I'm your host, Matthew Smith, in KNOM Studio C, and joining me this morning is my co-host, Laura Craigle. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
Laura, we're talking about education today, and we've got a couple guests here in Studio C. So let's go ahead and introduce those fine guests joining us this morning. We have Kevin Busk. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Matthew. My name is Kevin Busk, and I'm the program coordinator for NACTEC, which is here in Nome, which is a partnership between Nome Public Schools and Bering Strait School District.
Welcome, Kevin. Thanks for joining us. We also have Casey Miller.
Good morning. My name is Casey Miller. I'm the Student Services Manager at Northwest Campus, which is the regional campus for the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much, Casey. And also joining us today in Studio C, we have Sean Arnold. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, and I'm Sean Arnold. I'm from Nome Public Schools. I'm the superintendent for the school district.
Thanks for joining us, folks. So today our topic is education, but that's kind of the broad umbrella. We're really talking about post-secondary education. We're talking about what students in our region are doing right after high school. And I guess we should probably start off with the definition, but before we get to that, we do want to throw our phone numbers out there. This is our call-in show, KNOM Exchange. You might have heard us in the past as KNOM Sounding Board, but we're The Exchange now, and we want to hear your thoughts on our topic today. So give us a call, share your thoughts, ask a question to our guests, 443-5221 if you're in Nome. That's 443-5221. That line is open. And if you're outside of Nome, give us a call at 1-800-478-5666. That's 1-800-478-KNOM. And Laura, there's some ways folks can get in touch with us online, right?
Absolutely. Going on KNOM.org, you'll see the headline at the top is KNOM Exchange. Click on that and scroll down. There'll be a spot where you can leave your comments there, and we'll be able to read those on the air as well.
Comments or questions are all welcome today. We are talking about education. So let's start with that definition. What are we talking about? How should we refer to this topic? Are we talking about college and career? Are we talking post-secondary job skills? Where should we start? Sean?
Yeah, I think that's a great question about where to start with the definitions. The trend in education in the 90s kind of focused so heavily on preparing students for college. And it was only in the last couple of years that many educators kind of realized that not everybody kind of makes that path and that transition to a career from high school to college. And the big topic is kind of putting the emphasis on the career readiness, preparing students for career success after high school. Many individuals, including myself, college wasn't a straight path after high school. There was a lot of other things in between. And, the term post-secondary education and post-secondary outcomes is probably a really good term to kind of focus on than just that broad college and career readiness.
Well, Casey, I know you deal a lot with the education aspect at Northwest Campus. When I hear post-secondary education, my mind immediately does go to college, but it's a much broader field than just going on to a college degree, right?
You're right. That's a really good point. Even within the University of Alaska system, there are a lot of degrees and programs that even wouldn't be categorized as college. They're technical programs requiring 1 or 2 years in getting right into the job field. In addition, another thing to consider is it's not always after high school. It's while students are in high school, taking college classes, which is termed dual credit. And that's happening right here in the region right now. So keeping that into consideration, students preparing and getting exposure right in the classroom during high school.
And Kevin, I know you at NACTEC deal with a lot of those issues, not issues per se, but opportunities for students right as they're at that pivotal time in their education career, right before they graduate. Can you tell us about some of the stuff that you folks focus on at NACTEC?
Sure. We work with Casey Miller and with Northwest Campus closely to offer as many classes as we can, dual credit for both high school credit for BSSD students and for college credit. And many of our students are able to engage in it's the same coursework, but then through adjunct status of our instructors, they're able to get college credit for those courses. And for many, it's not only a money-saving thing, it's a time-saving thing, even if they only count as electives with their course of study. At NACTEC, we, as was mentioned before, we're not pushing kids into the college or university realm, but we emphasize training. No matter what you choose to do, training is going to be essential. So,
yeah, and I know we have a lot of different skills on offer, a lot of different places we could take our conversation, but let's start with students on the precipice of that big change in life, coming out of high school, moving on to a career, whether that's in something local, something in the military, or perhaps moving on to education. And Sean, I'm going to go back to you here with Nome Public Schools. Can you talk about how Nome Public Schools, I guess, kind of approaches that end of a student's career in the Nome Public School system, and how we get them ready for the next step?
Yeah, one of the great things, though, is we have really excellent counselors at the junior high and at the high school, and it's really kind of finding out what the students' needs are and what their wants are. Sometimes, though, too, their wants aren't necessarily kind of achievable. We all want to be like a baseball player or a astronaut when we're a kid, but sometimes it's a little tough there, and there's very few of those. And the counselors kind of work to kind of find out what their strengths are, make sure that they're in the right classes, taking the appropriate classes to kind of prepare them for success. And it's really nice, though, too, just recently through a partnership there with Northwest Campus, Norton Sound Health, and with the Post-Secondary Outcome Education Commission, we're providing a career guide at our high school that's going to be arriving here in the next few weeks, where to help us better meet and align the classes that students are taking to prepare them for that transition. Once they're out the doors when they graduate, we still try not to forget about them. We want to kind of meet their needs and kind of do follow up and make sure that if there's help, scholarships, kind of financial aid, and that, our partners within the community are kind of working towards getting them where they want to go. So,
well, let's talk about some of those partnerships, and I want to open this up to all of our guests here. It's got to be a difficult choice for these students finishing up high school, preparing to go on to the next step. What are the options that we guide them to? And I mean, not just at Northwest Campus, mm-hmm. not just at Nome Public Schools, but at NACTEC. What are the opportunities in our region? And if that opportunity, as Sean said, if some of those desires might not be achievable here, do we focus on sending students out of state, sending them to colleges elsewhere? How do we help them realize those goals?
I think it really depends on what avenue the student wants to go in. If they are going into a vocational avenue in the trades, welding, carpentry, any of those sort of things, plumbing, drywall, painting, our region has an amazing ability to absorb those skills. Currently, I think 70% of our workforce, when we are for construction, those sorts of services are brought in for contractors. We can fill those within our system. I know Northwest Campus has been offering boiler courses, electrical courses, and things like that to bolster people within our own region. I would say it really depends on what the student wants to do. If it's military, of course, they're going to have to go somewhere else, but they can return in the reserves. If it's we have a gold mining industry, there are plenty of things for students to do here. The healthcare field, I know Norton Sound Hospital is always looking for personnel, and we try to help them fill it within the region through the efforts of Northwest Campus and NACTEC and Nome Public Schools as well.
Casey, I want to maybe throw it to you there. A lot of the stuff Kevin's talking about takes place at that right before college level. I don't even want to say right before college. Let's say right before high school graduation level. The next step for many, it seems to be Northwest Campus. And what do you guys have on offer there in the region and, I guess, in the larger UAF system?
We've decided to take more of an approach where early exposure. So we have programs that our advisors, in which we have two rural advisors located at our learning centers in Shishmaref and in Unalakleet, and they travel to all the villages and do exposure activities and outreach. It starts at the second grade, getting into the second grade classrooms and talking about planning for their future. And from there, they make those connections with a quote-unquote college advisor. When they return to those communities, they know who our advisors are. And it's that piece, that connection, is what is one of the biggest advocates and, I guess, pieces of the puzzle that really helps students take that next step, because they need that confidence and that understanding from somebody that they can do it. So our advisor get into the schools as well as here in Nome and work with the students, sharing that college might not be the route you want to take, and that is absolutely okay. There are a lot of other things. And though I work at Northwest Campus, I have a lot of connections and resources that can help you get into wherever you'd like to go. Job Corps, the military, even if you'd like to stay right in your village and get an education degree, you can do that. So capitalizing on those opportunities, I think, is a really good suggestion for families and for students across the region, because we have really great advocates right here in the region who have taken that step and are back in our region to be great mentors and advocates for students.
So many great things we could touch on there. A lot of that goes to what are the first steps? You're talking about some of those early, I guess, partnerships or, I guess, early engagement of young kids. And we also are looking at how do we keep folks in our region employed and trained up for the skills that we need in our region. I do want to throw some those numbers out again for our listeners. Give us a call and tell us about your experiences, your opportunities, your career path once you finished high school in our region, BSSD or Nome Public Schools. What was it like for you, and what opportunities presented themselves, and perhaps you're even going back right now career change or continuing your education in some capacity. Give us a call and tell us your experiences, your thoughts, perhaps what you think your community needs. Our phone lines are open, 443-5221 in Nome. That's 443-5221 in Nome. And outside of Nome, 1-800-478-5666. That's 1-800-478-KNOM. And Laura, once again, online, how can people get in touch with us?
Visiting knom.org, click on KNOM Exchange at the very top of the page. You can scroll down and there'll be a box where you can leave comments or questions, and we'll read those aloud on air.
So how do we get that first step with students? You know, we talked about making those counselors contact students in was it second grade that we were talking about there? Mm-hmm. And you know, I feel like that could even mushroom into that larger conversation. How important is early childhood education for something that leads to a career path or prep students for that kind of academic field or you know, I guess the technical skills. Sean, I know you've been an advocate of that in Nome at the city council level, at the Nome Public Schools level. Can you talk about the importance of that when it comes to the larger picture of preparing our students?
Sure. You know, and it's kind of piggybacking on what Casey had said earlier. For a short time there, I was a shop teacher, and I worked a lot with Alaska General Contractors. And one of the things that they taught us, and we worked with the kids, is that by fifth grade, kids typically have their minds made up on what kind of career path they want to choose in life. And so we did a lot of efforts on kind of, you know, exposing them to construction trades as early as, you know, the elementary level, and kind of just building on that. And I don't think it's so much like trying to glamorize and sell one career over another. You know, we do want, you know, kids and to be interested and kind of fired up about something that they want to do, because they'll be vested in it. And it's amazing to see kids shine too when they do, you know, maybe a construction trades class. They're not interested in history or science, but then all of a sudden, you know, they're just working overtime on, you know, learning a new skill in math that they didn't think was possible before. And it's really neat to kind of see that. And it's really kind of, you know, it's that exposure at an early age to kind of get them going.
Kevin, I know that you and I have spoken about some of the opportunities students get at NACTEC to try out some new skills and see them kind of in the field with some partnerships at NACTEC. How do students respond to that, seeing that classroom learning going right into something that they then see in a professional, real-world capacity?
I think with our regional partners and industry partners, it's really important for our students to see that that education within a secondary setting, a high school setting, is not necessary. It's not a fishbowl. We're preparing students to engage in this larger world of work. So when we bring students from NACTEC into a field experience, for instance, like going for heavy equipment to see what DOT is doing, a large employer with our region, they realize that, wow, this is something that they can do. Coupled with the instruction of our teachers and like our simulation center, I think students really grasp that this is something that they can do. They can draw inspiration from that, and that it's achievable. They can stay within this region, learn these skills, make a good living wage, and improve our region and have a great career. So I think that that is something with working with partners within the community, within industry, it really brings to life the education of a student. So
seeing that education come to life, obviously an important part, a rewarding part for teachers and for students. A question I guess, you know, Laura and I were talking about kind of leading up to this is, how do you measure the success of some of these programs? Like, how do you measure a successful trip to NACTEC, Kevin and Sean? And, you know, you talked about some of those career advisory and also at Northwest Campus, that early contact with students. How do we know if that's succeeding? How do we know we're making the impact that we need to get the students on the right track?
I think, you know, the biggest thing is, and it's an area that we're kind of weak on across schools or I guess high schools around Alaska is kind of the follow-ups and a quality kind of data collection. And it's really kind of like the long-term success. What a lot of districts are doing is, you know, surveys and follow-ups of graduates within 2 years, 5 years to see how successful they are. That way, too, we can go back, we can bring that information back and make those changes to our programs and what we're doing with our current students to make sure that we're meeting their needs and that they are successful for careers afterwards. You know, and as of just this morning, we just signed signed an agreement with the National Clearinghouse to do some survey data with our own students here at Nome Belts to kind of collect that those post-secondary outcomes to find out what they're doing, what they're accomplishing, so we can make the changes now, but also to see if, you know, measure our success.
Casey, I wanted to ask you, you know, measuring that success is important, but I guess you and the folks at Northwest Campus are seeing the students coming right out of, I guess, primary education, coming out of high school. Are the students coming in prepared for the college-level classes that, or I should say, what's on offer at Northwest Campus, whether it's classes, skills, that kind of thing?
It is an interesting topic to talk about, and it's not, a regional issue, and it's not even a state issue. It's a national issue. The community college enrollment numbers across the nation are the highest they've ever been because of various elements. But one of them is because it's the getting that first foot in the door for students. It's affordable, for one. But secondly, it's supportive. more supportive. It's a smaller campus environment, and a lot of times it isn't even on campus. It's at home. And that's even more of a supportive environment for students. But we often see students and at the university level coming in developmental levels, and that's something that is not unique to I think, any college across the nation.
I'm going to ask you, Casey, when you say developmental levels, mm-hmm. what do you mean?
I mean, when an individual comes to the university, the campus, and they need to take a test to see where their skill and developmental level is currently at. We need to ensure that they're placed and they're enrolled in an appropriate course for their skill. We do not want to set them up for a class that's too hard, which is going to be discouraging. It's going to give them a negative experience right off the bat, and it's likely that they won't pass the class because they haven't formed those problem-solving and support-seeking skills yet to get the help they need. So we have institutional-approved and faculty-approved placement test system, which allows us to place students in the appropriate math and English level. And a majority of the students that you're referring to that are coming from high school are placing in not at the college, the basic college reading, math, and in English class. They're coming in at a developmental level. And we're talking about post-secondary as, at least in my perspective of college, but there are a majority of the individuals at Northwest Campus are not coming right out of college either. They're individuals.
Is that right out of high school?
I mean, high school, excuse me. They're individuals who have been in the region for 20 years and are ready to now come back and take a class. And because they haven't been in the classroom for 20 years, they're placing into those developmental levels as well. So there's all across the board, there's individuals who are older adult learners who are placing in developmental, as well as these high school students is coming in as well. So,
listeners, does that sound like you? Are you continuing your education, as Casey was just describing, a few years out of high school? Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. Tell us where you're from and how's it going in your community. What could be done better? What's working well for you? Our phone lines are open in Nome, 443-5221. 443-5221. You can give us a call right now, and 1-800-478-5666. That's 1-800-478-KNOM. And online, of course, Laura?
At knom.org, click on exchange, and scroll down where you can leave a comment or a question.
I want to ask Kevin if there's any, Do you see something similar at NACTEC? Are students coming in with skill levels already prepared? I guess the same way Casey was describing math and reading skills. What do you see there at NACTEC? Are students coming in with some of that baseline knowledge?
I would say many of the courses that we teach involve with career and technical education. We're talking about scale models. We're talking about construction. We're talking about terminology, basic terminology for business, construction, trades. And so we do see students coming in with adequate skills, and we just try to take them from wherever they are and build them to wherever they can get within that 2 to 4 week session. And our measures of success within that are kids obtaining certifications? Are they more able to not only decide what they would like to do or what avenue career choice they would like to go for? And do they know the path that they need to take? If they are soon to be graduated, what is the next step? So we're trying to enable students to get that driver's license that enables them to be, that first line of independence. Fill out job applications for either a university, a trade school, Alaska Technical College in Kotzebue, or Avtech in Seward, so they can feel competent in some of these things. Getting a bank account, how to budget. Are you going to make enough money in your chosen line of work to actually afford an apartment? Are you going to have a roommate? Some of those more practical things. So that's what we're looking at.
Sean. Got to turn my microphone on there. Sorry about that. Sean, I wanted to ask you, hearing what Kevin is saying, hear what Casey is saying about some of these students, how does Nome Public Schools, I know you can only speak for Nome, not the Bering Strait region, but how is Nome Public Schools, approaching this issue of making sure those students are at the skill level that the university needs?
I think the I think the biggest thing is that, you know, a good student will be successful regardless of what they're going to do in life. You know, if they study, you know, the foundations are still important. Reading, writing, you know, communication, those are really, in math, is, you know, those are just the foundation skills that haven't changed. And, you know, in 20 years of education or 100 years of education there, the thing that the state recognized a few years ago, it's kind of a little outdated statistic, but in 2012, it was 60% of students entering UAA required those remedial classes. And it caused educators around the state to kind of reflect on what are we doing, not just to prepare, you know, our students, but academically. We had to change and make things more rigorous and go about changing what we're teaching and when we're teaching. And that was the big push for new instructional standards. You know, here, not just locally, but across the state, we've adopted instructional standards for math and reading that are more rigorous, that will better prepare our students there for whatever post-secondary paths that they choose. They're more aligned to what other states are doing. You know, there's a few different names for those new instructional standards, but it's going to help better prepare them. Where we also had the kind of the shock back in 2012 as well, too. The other 60% statistic was 60% of our students who graduated from schools within Alaska attending a first year of college outside the state were returning back within that first year. So 60% of our students that we were sending off to our own universities weren't prepared in English, writing, or math.
Can I ask you just a clarification there, Sean? Did you say students from Alaska leaving to attend a university outside of the state, or does that include students from within Alaska?
That's students from within Alaska attending colleges outside of Alaska. More than half were returning within the first year.
Is that to say that essentially deciding that I'm not going to be able to continue, or deciding I won't continue?
A lot of it, what was reported at the time was that the students weren't being prepared academically to compete against students in the lower 48, that there were different instructional standards, ones that are similar to what we've adopted now that were adopted earlier by states early on, and that we just weren't preparing them to kind of meet those rigors that's required of a lot of pathways after school. The more in-depth deep math, algebra, and communication skills. And with these new standards, the hope is that over the course of the next few years, you know, we'll have, you know, better prepared students.
You're listening to KNOM Exchange, our weekly call-in show. I'm your host, Matthew Smith, my co-host, Laura Craigle.
Hi there.
And, thanks, Laura. And we are talking about education and preparing students in our region for post-secondary school. We're at the bottom of the hour, halfway through our show, and we've got phone lines that are open. We've got some guests in the show today talking about this topic. We have Kevin Busk from NACTEC, Casey Miller with Northwest Campus, and Nome's Public School Superintendent Sean Arnold. Call in, share your questions, share your thoughts on how your community and your experience in our region has played out in preparing yourself or your family, your community for post-secondary ed, anything from college to military to trade to the job market. So we want to transition now to something that, Casey, you actually kind of pointed us to in preparing for this discussion. Looking at this report from the McDowell Group, came out in February of this year, kind of gave us a broad overview of some of the post-secondary education challenges in our state. So, Laura, what were some of those things that report from the McDowell Group was kind of identifying in Alaska?
They identified a lot of really interesting statistics and trends in education in Alaska. One of the things that they shared was that Alaskans in general are less likely to have a degree, a postgraduate degree of any kind, less likely to be full-time enrolled students, less likely, like Sean was saying, to continue in a program once they're enrolled. And if they are enrolled, it often takes them a longer time to finish that degree program. And it sounds like these are sort of, compared to other states, issues that have some unique quality to Alaska. Is that something that you see as educators, and why do you think that might be common to our state?
I can speak on this.
Go ahead, Casey.
I agree. I think that Alaska students are unique, and they require a unique support system and web of support. There are a lot of considerations with a student coming in from a totally different way of life. If you think of the typical college setting, that is a totally different experience and way of life than they're used to, what they know. So at the university level, we've identified this, and we've seen, and actually even at the legislative level, with the development of rural student services at University of Alaska Fairbanks, we've identified that these students need a special support structure, and that there are departments that are funded and secure within the university system at each major university campus to support these students specifically. At UAF, there's rural student services. At UAA, there's native student services. And at UAS, there's rural and native student services. And these departments are the very first stop we as rural advisors, talking with the high school students, tell them to go. There is a really extensive and comprehensive outreach program from these departments because they know that these students are coming from the rural areas. And it is so important to make that connection early and often. So we work closely, rural staff work closely with these, with our colleagues at the larger campuses in connecting these students. And we really feel, and I from personal experience seeing and working with students, feel that they are the lifesavers for these rural students going to campus. And even from my personal perspective and story, I was one of those statistics that Sean had shared. I left. I came from a small village of, 75 people, and I decided I wanted to leave the state. I was aiming high and heading out. So I went to the Lower 48, and I spent 2 years down there, and it wasn't because I personally felt I wasn't keeping up academically, but it was the familiarity and the homesickness. And I knew Anchorage. I was familiar with Anchorage. And I think that's a lot of the same concerns that our students have, the familiarity. So I returned, and I finished my degree in the state. BSSD, I know they're not here to speak there for themselves, but they are they're going to be focusing their efforts more this next year on establishing that connection and familiarity aspect for their seniors. And I'm speaking on behalf of BSSD, and it might not be okay, but I did want to share that it is something that they're focusing on, and they're working closely with us at Northwest Campus in establishing programs where they're going to get the seniors to the major campuses and have that orientation and that personal experience and that connection with those rural student services, native student services departments. And I really feel that's the key. They're going to have local support here, working through scholarships, working through admissions applications, working through resumes with our staff locally. But boy, once they get to that main campus, they have that home away from home, and they have those people that they know and recognize. And I feel that's key for this population. So
yeah,
I'm excited to see.
Make that connection now, and then if they go on to college or they go on to UAF or UAA, they have a familiar face there on the ground in Anchorage. What is your experience been in our region, that familiarity, that homesickness that Casey just mentioned? Perhaps you've gone out of state as well. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open, and we're going to go to our first caller in just a moment. That phone line in Nome, 443-5221, 443-5221. Outside of Nome, that line is open, toll-free, 1-800-478-KNOM. That's 1-800-478-5666, and online.
At KNOM.org, click on the headline at the top of the page. You can leave us a comment or question.
All right, let's go to our first caller. We have John in Nome. John, thank you for calling The Exchange. We're talking about education, specifically that post-secondary education and preparing for work or school. What would you like to share today?
My name is Dan, not John.
I'm so sorry, John. Dan?
Yes.
I apologize about that. No, go ahead, Dan.
That's perfectly okay. I just have a question. You know, students from rural areas or the villages, I assume once they enter into some sort of training or college or some other higher education, I think wouldn't a culture shock, like from coming from their hometown into a new environment, and how long would this culture shock last? You know, I'm just kind of curious.
That's an excellent question, Dan. I'm going to throw it out to our guests here. We'll go to you, Kevin. What do you think?
Hi, Dan. My name's Kevin. I'm the program coordinator from NACTEC. We have students who come in from the 15 villages within the BSSD region and also Nome Public Schools as well. And we deal with homesickness as our primary challenge. We have students who they've never left their home community. They've never been away from their family. We really try to, one, form a bond within the group of students and really try to make it a conscious effort. Like, this is going to happen. There are physical symptoms with homesickness. You couple that with sometimes, nicotine or caffeine withdrawals, or, you know, it's a foreign experience. And to take somebody out of their comfort zone where they lived their whole life, we're trying to give them those coping mechanisms and a stepping stone for independence if they choose to move away from, let's say, their home community, to enable them that success wherever they choose to go, how to take care of their space, how to cook, clean for themselves, how to network, how to shake hands with somebody. All of those things, I think, are empowering for the student and enable them to successfully transition from their home community to wherever they choose to be. And they may choose to return as well. That's how NACTEC approaches it. And that's the concise version. Sorry.
Dan, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am.
Dan, what do you think? And we'll also maybe give Casey a chance to respond to that initial question. But what do you think of Kevin's comments there?
I think it's perfectly okay, man. Approaching the student in a positive way in a new environment, you know, that really points out the difference between leaving and where they're at now. So that's good insight, Kevin. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, Dan. Well, we're going to throw that question over to Casey now. Casey, how would you respond to Dan?
It is an element that is often seen in rural students, and I don't know if it goes away. It might just be easier to deal with, and they might find other ways to pass that feeling. But they're always going to miss home and think of home, especially during the hunting and the transition seasons. And with that, I think that's part of the problem-solving skills that they develop while they're at college. There's been even students that's the single most reason they won't go to college. They won't get on that plane or they won't enroll in any classes because they're going to be miss home. And I think that's okay. You know, it's a natural feeling. It's so great to miss home. But to establish those connections and reach out. It's a skill that students really need to learn and develop when they're feeling homesick. And we need to start talking to them about it early when they're in high school and anticipate them feeling this way. What are your resources when you start feeling down? What are the signs of depression? What are some of the things that are going on campus? And who do you need to talk to in the event that you feel this way? Because at all of our University of Alaska campuses, there are cultural related and student support events and programs specifically for this. I can speak on behalf of Rural Student Services at UAF. All of the advisors there come from, majority of the advisors come from villages, just like the students there advise. So they know firsthand what it's like to be there. having potlucks on Friday with native foods, foods that the students connect and relate with, having movie nights, you know, together at the gatherings place, having a dance group that travels all around the state together, in your Yubiak dance group, where they connect with other rural students, even just a place to talk with your advisor when you're feeling down. I've even heard that they'll give wake-up calls. it's the reality of it. Sometimes our rural students have a hard time getting to those early morning classes because they've been a summer of staying up late and not getting up in the mornings, and that's okay as well. So knowing that maybe an enrollment in an afternoon class, and if you need help getting there, I'll call you, and I'll tell you good morning, and I'll let you know class starts in 20 minutes. That's the support that they need, and it's there. And that's why I tell students the first stop is those departments, because they're going to be your ticket to support and success.
Well, Casey, as somebody who personally had difficulty with those 8 o'clock morning classes as well, the potlucks also sound great.
Well. Yeah.
Well, Dan, I just want to ask you, thanks so much for your call today on The Exchange. Is there any other questions or thoughts you'd like to share with us before we say goodbye?
Maybe just one last question. Are the students, can they call home on a toll-free line, or do they have to, you know, have a card in order to call home?
That's a good question, Dan. I don't know. I would imagine it'd be different for every student. But Casey, what do you think?
That might be a resource that's available through those departments. I do not know if there's that access, but boy, I would be willing to bet if a student came to an advisor and said, "I need to call home. Would you help me?" That would be not a problem at all. So, but that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up, and maybe a resource I can look into and inquire on the university level. So, thank you.
Okay, well, I appreciate all the information you're giving, and thank you for your time, and have a good day.
Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks for calling The Exchange.
Thanks, Dan.
That was Dan in Nome calling us on our line that is now open, 443-5221. We've got two lines there open, but we're going to go to another caller now, Joanne in Unalakleet. Joanne, welcome to The Exchange. What would you like to share with us today?
Well, a number of things. I think the first thing I'd like to say is there was a study done in the past about, I think it may have been done by the University of Alaska, of the success rate of the different schools within Alaska, and the St. Mary's School and the Covenant High School had a real high post-secondary education success rate. And what I'd like to hear in the future is, I would like to hear 3 or 4 students from graduates from these schools who also became college graduates share their experiences of why they felt they succeeded.
All right. Well, thanks, Joanne. I think honestly, I would love to have some of those folks call into The Exchange today and share their experiences. But we'll turn your comments over to our guests today. You know, Joanne's raising some interesting points about some communities in our region that do have very high rates of success when it comes to these kinds of post-secondary opportunities. I'm looking at our guests trying to determine who I'm going to pick on to answer and discuss some of those issues. We're going to go with Casey.
Yeah.
Casey with Northwest Campus. Thanks.
I think those experiences set the groundwork and the foundation for really what students experience in college. If they're leaving, just that confidence in taking a step out of the village is one major hurdle. And again, that problem solving that I mentioned before. They're there alone. They know that they can do it. They've gained the confidence to be somewhere else, getting an education, and figuring out problems on their own. I think that also just knowing, just there's an understanding that wherever I go and whatever experiences I gather, my community and family will always be there, whether it be in high school and I'm leaving or college and I'm leaving. and they want me to do this. And that was something I wanted to bring up earlier, is that having that family support and those positive family messages are really key as well. If you believe that your child should be pursuing higher education, sometimes it's hard to put aside your own personal feelings of even homesickness for, or, you know, missing them. But try as best as you can to encourage them. And even if they go to NACTEC, giving those personal messages that I'm proud of you, keep going, you're doing well, I'll be here when you return, I think are major influences, since the parents are the first teachers and make major impact. So positive messaging is important.
That's really interesting to hear and great. And I think I'm curious to hear F of Joanne's comment, really viewing like successful students as a resource. Do non-public schools or NACTEC or Northwest Campus ever invite successful graduates from our region to kind of speak to the next class and share their own experiences and see the value in that?
Yeah, I think that those students are always invited.
Okay.
I don't know how in the past, how purposeful we've made those efforts, but I know that's definitely a good idea to come back as mentors, as role models. And that's kind of the purpose of the new career guide that we're adding in. It's someone that's closely related to the students in age, not far removed from school, and that someone that they can relate to. And that's definitely, a positive that we would like to pursue.
And Joanne, are you still with us there?
Yes, I am.
I just want to ask you your thoughts and your experiences there in Unalakleet. What do you see when it comes to this issue there at home?
I remember about 5 years ago, maybe longer, maybe more like 10, the No Child Left Behind law that came into effect. And I remember some of the statistics that I heard, and I think community plays a large part on children's success. When a community embraces education and the value of it, that community more likely have students who will succeed even in post-secondary education. I remember there were three villages that were doing well, and they had met their requirements. And those villages were White Mountain, Wales, and Unalakleet. And the students from those villages were doing well, and the other villages were not meeting the requirements. And I think that partly is because there was education had become a part of that community, those communities early on. And I just wanted to stress that when we embrace education and the value of it, we're more likely to succeed as a community.
I think that's a powerful and a really important message to get out there, Joanne. So thank you so much for calling in today and joining the exchange. Any other thoughts to share with us today?
I look forward to the next call-in show about education.
We'll probably...
I think it's really important.
I'm sorry, Joanne, didn't mean to cut you off. We'll hopefully be tackling this issue again, especially leading up to a big regional education summit in our region next month in October. But Joanne, thanks so much for your call today.
Sure.
Have a good one. That was Joanne in Unalakleet. Our phone lines are open, and we're just about 10 minutes from the end of our show, but still time for some callers. Those phone lines again, toll-free, 1-800-478-KNOM. That was the line Joanne just called in, 1-800-478-KNOM. And in Nome, 443-5221. Joanne raised some excellent points there about that expectation of success. And, Casey, I know there's some ways we can kind of get that expectation set up or kind of put those students on that path to success with some dual credit courses. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. I agree with the statements that Joanne made regarding the community support and the community establishing that expectation of post-secondary education. And I've heard that one strategy is not to ask if a student is going to college or post-secondary, but where and when. You've already established that expectation that they're going. They just need to tell you when and where. And I think that putting that expectation that they, whether they stay in their community or whether they leave their community, doing something is really important. In regards to that McDowell Group study, they also forecasted that by 2020, 60% of Alaskans are going to have a certificate or higher to continue the trend of Alaskans filling Alaskan positions. So right now the state is, I think, around 48. So we have a little ways to go, and this next generation of students that we're talking about specifically are the key, are the population that really need to take it on to the next level. Like, that high school college degree might not be enough anymore. But while they're in high school, there are efforts and steps that we're taking, and one of them is in the form of dual credit within BSSD and Nome Public Schools, and getting them that exposure and that confidence to take that next step after high school, whether it be right here in Nome or in the village in Wales or in Unalakleet. They have that experience, and they can refer to it and tap into it. And they're successful because they're in a supportive environment with that, you know, framework of support, and it's funded by the district. So it's a really awesome opportunity for these students to come into college with the transcript record, as well as a really good financial standing behind them as well. In addition to programs that students can tap into, like Rural Alaska Honors Institute, RAHI, ANSEP is another strong program that is spreading their wings a little bit more into the rural areas, giving students that exposure to post-secondary opportunities. The Upward Bound programs, even the local camps that we partner with, like Nome Eskimo, and internships with the hospital in the summer for students. So there's a lot of opportunities there and for students if they have the initiative, the support, and the drive and the interest.
A lot of opportunities, still a lot to cover in our show, and we're coming down to the final few minutes. I know we have a couple messages from our listeners who decided to get in touch with us online. Laura, tell us how they could our listeners could do that, and let's go ahead and read some of those messages if we can.
Yes, definitely. We're accepting online comments at KNOM.org. Click on KNOM Exchange and scroll down. There's a box where you can leave your comments and questions. And we have two that have already come in. One from Sharon in Nome really emphasizes that preparing for life after high school is just as much life skills as it is academic preparation, which I think we've been touching on. She says life skills is becoming an adult, learning how to fill out a job application, go to an interview, complete your income taxes or your PFD forms. And then Rena in Nome, she has a really interesting personal story about using her children's talents to help them get through school, such as sports. She says her oldest child was not very academically inclined, but a great wrestler, and that he ended up attending junior college in the lower 48, was a captain of his team, and ended up having a lot of academic success because he had confidence. And I imagine that would probably go hand in hand, not just with college, but with any post-secondary career, having the confidence in not just your academic skills, but in kind of all aspects of life.
I think absolutely. And unfortunately, we are winding our show down, and I want to give our guests each an opportunity to quickly kind of give their best piece of advice, or what's an actionable next step for students, no matter the age, whether they're finishing up high school or they're finishing up a career. What can they do to connect themselves into the next step, whether that's job skills, military, education, that kind of thing? Kevin, we'll start with you. At NACTEC, what would you say to students? What's the best step? What's the first step towards the next step?
I would have to say the first step towards the next step for our students is take every opportunity you can right now. For many of our high school students, this is your last free education. Take advantage of it. Success is practiced, and by practicing this, if you want to go away to school or training, you need to practice getting away from home. You need to take those steps, and it's not just sports trips. It's going to ANSEP. It's going to RAHI. It's coming to NACTEC. It's taking those steps where you can feel that independence and be successful within those parameters, and you will find success when you choose to go for those training endeavors, whatever you choose to do, but you got to practice it.
Thanks, Kevin. Casey, we'll give you a quick minute. The first step towards the next step.
I agree with Kevin 100%, but I don't know how many students are listening to this right now.
So students, I'd like parents, hopefully.
Right,
yeah.
Students as well, I mean, high school students. So I would like to encourage families just to be as supportive and encouraging as possible. Connect, even if the student isn't confident in connecting with that local resource or that individual who's knowledgeable in helping during those transitions, parents, you take the step and contact us as well. There are staff right here in the region who know what you're going through, and we are here and ready to help. We want to see that success just as much as you as a parent did. And I will put a little plug in, too. We have registration at the Northwest Campus until Friday, so it's not too late for even the listeners now, if they want to consider and feel inspired by this, to contact the campus and start your own path to post-secondary ed.
Casey Miller with Northwest Campus, thank you. And Sean Arnold with No Public Schools.
Yeah, I think what was said earlier, just it's really hard to add to that. But I think for parents, the most important parents and families is to kind of let us know what we can do to support your students, your children. And, you know, what are the needs? You know, do you want to see more small engines repair classes? Do you want to see more aviation or marine technology? Those things that we know and we can try to work to provide, we just need to know that. And, you know, we're partners in, you know, with the community, with the parents, and we're here to work with everybody.
All right. Thanks, Sean. That was KNOM Exchange for this Thursday. I'm your host, Matthew Smith.
Co-host, Laura Craigle.
And we want to say a big thank you to our guests, Kevin Busk from NACTEC, Casey Miller from Northwest Campus, and Sean Arnold from Nome Public Schools. Thanks so much for joining us today, folks. We are going to be having another episode of The Exchange next Thursday at 10 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you then.